Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from The Voice of America on Tuesday, March 29th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe's indigenization minister has vowed that there is no going back on plans by government to cancel licenses of foreign firms that fail to comply with the April 1st deadline.
Police arrest MDCT Secretary General Douglas Muonzora.
ZANU-PF youth planning a million march. ZANU-PF youth planning a million march say President Robert Mugabe should rule until he dies.
And some lucky Zimbabwean families yesterday joined the United States' first family when it hosted its last Easter roll at the White House.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Indigenization Minister Patrick Juao has vowed that there's no going back on plans by government to cancel licenses of foreign firms that fail to comply with the cabinet's April 1st deadline to submit their black empowerment compliance plans. The country's empowerment law states that at least 51% of the shares of every company and any other business should be owned by indigenous Zimbabweans. Government is also bitter that foreign companies have spent Joao's directive to contribute 10% of their annual earnings to the proposed empowerment levy. But criticism of the government's plans is increasing. War veterans leader Chris Mutswangwa, who was recently booted out of cabinet, is quoted in the Newsday newspaper as saying his organization will resist plans to nationalize companies and loot the country's resources. The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions has also written a letter to Joao protesting the threat to close companies, saying he's leading the nation towards a slippery slope. The International Monetary Fund has also called on the government to clarify the OPEC law that many say is driving away foreign investors. In an exclusive interview with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu, Joao says government will continue with its plans and said he has personally organized an indigenization clinic for those who have queries.
I have not even bothered to check with line ministries in terms of what the progress is. But however, what has then been transpiring is that there have been a number of companies that have been seeking clarity on a lot of issues, some of which are downright lies in terms of what they have been told about the Indigenization and Economic Empowerment Act, Chapter 1433. Some of those lies have actually come from institutions such as yours, which are the media, that have been misleading companies. So what I have resolved to do, I was requested by one of the companies to conduct an indigenization compliance clinic where companies that feel that they are affected come in to just get a few pointers directly from myself as the minister responsible for administering that act. To say, look, this is what the act says and these are the options that are available to each and every company in terms of the legislation.
So when is this indigenization clinic likely to begin?
Well, we will begin tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
How many companies have registered so far?
No, it's a walk-in clinic. You know, just like a clinic, my brother, if you've got a toothache, you go to the clinic and you say, I have a toothache. And then the doctor says, look, you need aspirin or whatever it is that you need. And if your ailment is of a bigger nature, then the doctor says, look, I really cannot assist you. You need to go to a specialist.
You said there are certain companies that fall under the threshold that the government is looking at. If you can give examples.
My brother, you've got General Notice 114 of 2011, General Notice 459 of 2011 and then General Notice 280 of 2012. Those set the thresholds sector by sector.
We have had concerns, Honorable Minister, from the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, who an organization that says it has written a letter to you, and also the war veterans faction led by Mr. Mchangwa, saying that the route that the government is taking is wrong.
First, no. With all due respect to the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, it's not them that I'm laughing at. The Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions, I've just had an interview with a journalist who showed me the letter that was written by the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions. So I believe the letter is in the post. But I will engage with the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions. But I don't want to engage with the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions in the media.
Turning to Mr. Mchangwa.
Mr. Mchangwa, Honorable Mchangwa, I think let's use his title appropriately. Honorable Mchangwa was a member of cabinet, and having been a member of cabinet, he knows the processes of cabinet.
That was Indigenization Minister Patrick Zhuwao speaking there with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
ZANU-PF youth say to be aligned to a faction of the party known as Generation 40 or G40 are planning a million men march to show support for President Robert Mugabe. They are vowing to stand by Mr. Mugabe despite his advanced age. Our correspondent Lloyd Amoyo reports from Mutare.
The youths are planning to join others in May to stage what they term a million men march in solidarity with President Mugabe. They are believed to be G40 members who allegedly want First Lady Grace Mugabe to succeed her husband. The other faction, allegedly led by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, is backed by war veterans of the 1970s War of Liberation. The youths who gathered in the eastern border city today to make the necessary arrangements for the proposed march said they are geared for the public event to prove they are fully behind the 92-year-old leader who has ruled Zimbabwe since independence in 1980. Their representative, ZANU-PF Youth League political commissar Innocent Amandishe, said they want Mr. Mugabe to rule until he dies.
Our main aim on the 1 million men march is to show the president that we are fully behind him. We want him to be our president for life, and those that do not agree are free to go to ZEC and remove their names there or vote otherwise.
Amandishe further noted that they are being used as political tools by some cabinet ministers. He said this can only stop if they are economically empowered.
Our youths have suffered enough, and we will ensure that ministers that are not doing their work are named and shamed come that day. We'll meet the president on the Million Men March.
The youths that were in the city are planning to hold a rally on Sunday in the eastern border city ahead of the march in May. Each province is expected to provide at least 100,000 young people for the event. Acting ZANU-PF Manicaland Provincial Youth League Chairperson Mubuso Chinguno said they have been let down by ministers in the province, as most youths do not have land, stands in urban areas, and are left out of state projects. They said they have not yet benefited from the diamond-rich Manicaland province. President Mugabe recently claimed that Zimbabwe could have lost about $15 billion in potential diamond revenue due to lack of transparency in the mining of the gems. Chinguno said this is unacceptable, as part of the proceeds were meant to benefit local youths.
We only have shipping, Shimanimani, Mutare, and Rusape. The whole areas, they are rural areas where there are a lot of marginalized youths, where there are a lot of disadvantaged youths. So our point is to have those youths who defend the party, who stand by the party 24/7, to benefit from the government availed programs, like they should get affordable stands, they should get decent housing, they should also get land to benefit from the government's progressive land reform program.
The youths are expected to raise funds for the transportation of ZANU-PF activists to the so-called Million Men March in Harare. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Damoyo.
Police today arrested MDCT Secretary General Douglas Mwonzora outside the High Court in central Harare after he questioned security details at the court for demanding that party leader Morgan Tsvangirai should produce his national identity document before entering the premises, as he's a former prime minister and a very important person or VIP. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera has the details from Harare.
Tsvangirai was due to appear in court where he was facing a $500,000 defamation case filed by National Army Colonel Christopher Mayoyo over the 2008 political violence in Masvingo province. Mayoyo is suing the former prime minister for allegedly stating that the army officer was involved in the murder and torture of opposition political activists in the 2008 elections. According to MDC spokesperson Obet Gutu, Mwonzora told the security details that it was demeaning to ask the former prime minister to produce his ID when he's a VIP. He said Mwonzora was then arrested and taken to Harare Central Police Station, where he is still detained. Gutu said he believed Mwonzora has no case to answer. Mwonzora is being represented by former Constitutional Affairs Minister, Advocate Eric Matinenga, who could not be reached for comment. Police spokesperson, Senior Assistant Commissioner Chet Charamba said she was yet to check the facts relating to Mwonzora's arrest. Meanwhile, Justice Emmy Tsanga has postponed Tsvangirai's trial to 14 July. Colonel Mayoyo claims in his defamation case that Tsvangirai allegedly restated that he was responsible for the murder, torture and harassment of opposition political activists in Masvingo province in 2008. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Some lucky Zimbabwean families who won the White House Easter Egg Roll Lottery joined the United States' first family yesterday when it hosted its last Easter roll. Doreen Taderera and her son Anthony joined 35,000 other people on the south lawn of the White House for games, storytelling, and the traditional egg roll held annually. This year's theme was Let's Celebrate. Taderera says she entered the lottery a few months ago and was surprised to have won. Another Zimbabwean, Robin Travers, and her daughter also won the lottery and were at the event. Despite security threats that delayed the event yesterday, Taderera tells Studio 7 her son Anthony was inspired by the visit.
Actually, it was my friend's idea. She actually has her own family, so she said that, you know, she'll enter, and then if she wins, she'll give the other adult ticket to me, and if I enter and win, and she'll actually get my adult ticket. So we actually entered at the same time with the agreement that, you know, we both, let's say, hook each other up if we win. So I ended up winning the lottery, let's say, and I ended up, you know, keeping my word, and she came with me.
Tell us, what was that experience like, especially for your son? How old is he and how did he receive just being at the White House?
Yeah, he's 8 years old. And actually, we didn't tell him until we were walking around the gates, close to the gates. He's like, where are we going? Because, you know, like during the weekend, we had a trip. And then over there, they were doing Easter egg hunting and all that stuff. He saw the kids doing it and was like, oh, why didn't I do this? Why didn't we do this? So basically, I just told him, well, you know what, maybe it'll come soon. So I didn't tell him that we're going to the White House until we actually reached there. And he said, what are we doing here? So he was super excited and he was shocked at, you know, as well. So the experience was pretty great. I mean, we had to wait for a while, but he didn't mind. He was just game because he knew he was going to be by the White House. And it's like almost every child's dream to just be in the White House by the lawn and play around over there and do some interesting, cool things. So he was really, really excited.
And what were some of the interesting, cool things that he got to do? And also, did you actually get to see the First Lady and President Barack Obama?
Oh, unfortunately not. They were actually not there. Basically, the interesting things that we had to do, we took pictures, and then we played games, and we saw interesting animals, and also he actually did the egg roll. We missed the egg hunt, though, by a couple of minutes, because there was a commotion going on at the Capitol Hill.
That was Zimbabwean Doreen Taderera speaking to us from Washington, D.C.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
some business entities promote the use of renewable energy in Zimbabwe.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
An Egyptian man who hijacked a passenger jet and forced it to land in Cyprus was arrested Tuesday following a tense six-hour standoff.
The campaign manager for Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump has been charged with simple battery over an incident in which he is alleged to have grabbed a news reporter at a campaign event in Florida.
Authorities in Pakistan have detained more than 200 suspects, Islamic militias, in a major crackdown in connection with Sunday's suicide bombing in Lahore that killed at least 72 people, many of them Christians, celebrating Easter.
A new U.S. political survey shows Republican voters continue to favor billionaire real estate mogul Donald Trump for the party's presidential nomination by a wide margin over his two remaining challengers, while the Democratic contest between former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has narrowed.
And embattled Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff may find herself one step closer towards impeachment and removal from office today. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
A consortium of business entities is promoting the use of renewable energy in Zimbabwe by encouraging people to use solar energy. Transformative Communications Consultancy says the government should be spearheading the use of solar energy because the majority of people are far from the power grid, yet the country experiences sunshine almost throughout the year. We reached a spokesperson, Hussein Isbanda, who says they are currently in talks with a South African company that will provide expertise and technical support for those who want to use renewable energy, especially solar energy.
According to research that has been done by various organizations, they have proved that up to 65% to 75% of the country is off-grid, which means they have no access to electricity. So there is a very big market for solar. But of course, the question has been, how come that market has not been tapped? As I speak now, there are more than 26 companies that are marketing solar, you know, selling and buying solar and so forth, but they failed to penetrate the market. And the simple reason has been that there's not been enough publicity and awareness that has been carried out on the products of solar, on the use of solar, so that people have a lot of awareness. I think what has happened, unfortunately, has been the negative publicity that has occurred, because most people buy cheap products, in terms of solar off the streets. As a result, those solar products do not last for a long time. And people then have a very negative attitude towards solar. And this is what we've been trying to reverse, to make people to be aware that you can buy quality solar that can last you for many, many, many years.
But by your own reckoning, do you think that people are warming up towards buying solar panels?
Yes, I think they are. For instance, we're working with various companies, you know, and we could record data last year, a greater part of last year, and we realized a rise in terms of sales. For instance, solar geysers, we realized a raise also in terms of solar panels. I think that is why it has been so important to try and get quality products on the market in terms of solar. I think people would have a huge appetite for that and would actually buy solar if they can see that it is working. The challenge has been the high cost. And one way to deal with that would be to increase the market size. You would want that at least 40% or 50% of the country to start buying and getting solar. That will dramatically lower the prices. And also government itself, it has been responsible for this poor uptake in terms of its laws. It's very difficult to import solar products into the country because some of them are charged at the border. While in its statutes, the government has promised that it will not charge solar products, but in practice, that is not what they are doing. And so it becomes expensive to land it here.
Do you see any negative attitude towards the use of solar? And if so, why?
I think the result where the negative attitude and behavioral trends in terms of people buying solar has come from has mostly been from the poor quality of products that flood the market. I mean, like now if you go in Bulawayo on the streets, in Lopengula Street, people are selling. In Rankin, people are selling. But all those products are very poor quality, what is referred as Xinjiang quality products, which means people are not given the right battery sizes, the right panels, and they don't work for a long time. So people have developed a very negative attitude towards solar because they don't realize that a quality solar product will last you for more than 10 years or even more. So I think the issue is we have to change that negative attitude. And that can only happen through a broad and wide public awareness, but also bringing into the market quality products.
And that was Useni Sibanda, the spokesman for the transformative communications consultancy firm. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo.
Amid concerns of a growing rate of new HIV infections at tertiary institutions, the National AIDS Council in Gweru has set up an antiretroviral therapy dispensing site at Midlands State University. Health experts say there has been an overall decline in HIV prevalence in Zimbabwe, but have raised concern over the high HIV rates amongst adolescents and youths. Tatenda Songore, director of Youth Advocates Zimbabwe, explains to reporter Tatenda Gumbo some of the key factors in the HIV infection rates.
So what it means is they are not well equipped to deal with such issues like negotiating for sex, especially for girls who are going to tertiary institutions, for boys, issues around how to negotiate with the girls. If they are dating, they can't actually negotiate on issues or on sex issues. And also, if you look at how the economic situation in the country is driving young people to extremes, especially the most vulnerable to jail child, because if you move into a tertiary institution and don't have the access to adequate resources, you don't have even accommodation, what it means is you're going to be cohabiting, you're going to be looking for someone who will be supporting you with the food, you're going to be looking for someone who will be supporting you with transport, and other the basic needs of a girl child.
You spoke that your organization is working on a program to assist tertiary institutions when it comes to these issues. How will that program work? And
we recently launched a youth helpline that integrates SMS calls and texts to reach to young people. And this helpline, what it does is young people are able to SMS and they can talk to a trained counselor who speaks in confidence then with clear confidentiality issues. And then they can ask issues around sexuality, where to access services. You link them to a service provider. If they don't know where to access, maybe condoms, they don't know where to access even ARVs, we link them to the next service provider. And then we track if they are accessing the services.
That was Tatenda Songore, Director of Youth Advocates Zimbabwe, speaking to Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo.
The hunger situation in Mashonaland East is worsening, with more families surviving on wild fruits and sometimes one meal a day. According to Mashonaland East Women's Assembly Provincial Organizing Secretary Edna Muswe, the situation is being worsened by the politicization of food distribution in the province by ZANU-PF leaders. She says opposition party members are being denied food aid. Studio 7 tried to get a comment from Uzumba Member of Parliament Simbane Uta Mudarikwa of ZANU-PF, but he told Studio 7 to call him tomorrow. But Muswe tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri she does not see many families pulling through to September this year if nothing is done to address the food distribution issue.
Here in Uzumba and Mashonaland East province, people are suffering from hunger because of shortage of rain in this season. We are traveling very long distance to fetch water in boroughs and dams. The distribution of food aid is very poor. They use political strategies to distribute food. They first selected ZANU-PF elders, but those from MDC are suffering from hunger without anything to eat. They say cows suck milk from cows, and you must suck your milk from Sangrai. That is food slogan. These days, we are a little bit safe because they are accusing each other. You are Gamatok, you are Gamatok.
So what is your party doing to try and address this issue?
Our party told us that you must be here to say your rights when they are distributing that food.
What about non-governmental organizations? Are they helping with any food?
These days, they are not distributing any food. They are not yet.
That was MDCT Mashonaland East Women's League Organizing Secretary Edna Muswe on the line from Uzumba in Mashonaland East Province with reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Tonight, our host of The Youth Connection will be talking to listeners and experts about HIV cases in colleges and universities. If you wish to join the discussion, give us a call at 001-202-619-2077. The number again, 001-202-619-2077.
We're going out in style with the music there of Bob Nesta Marley, Exodus. What did we have tonight, Miss Marvelous?
Now to recap on tonight's top stories. Zimbabwe's indigenization minister has vowed that there is no going back on plans by government to cancel licenses of foreign firms that fail to comply with the April 1st deadline.
ZANU-PF youth are planning a million men march, say President Mugabe should rule until he dies.
And police arrest MDCT Secretary General Douglas Monzora.
That's it for tonight. Now, please don't go away. Stand by as Ndebele News is coming up, hosted by yours truly, Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.